All right, so it's a great pleasure to be here, and to a big audience, Baruch Hashem, on this very beautiful day, and the beginning of Chodesh Ha'aviv, as we come to celebrate Pesach. Let me begin with the following story, and this is the Vizhnitzer Rebbe, who came to Eretz Yisrael. He came in 1946, and he spoke Yiddish, and he wanted to try out his Hebrew, so he went to the Makolet, to the local store in Tel Aviv, and he said to the storekeeper, Man Yanim, Mashlamcha, and he answered, Akol Beseder. And he went to another store, and that same answer, Akol Beseder. And he went home to his wife, and said to his wife, what an amazing country this is. They say, Hakol Beseder, that everything can be found in the Seder. And it's true, everything can be found in the Seder, in the night of Pesach. And what I want to share with you this morning is four foundational ideas that Rabbi Soloveitchik speaks about when it comes to the Seder, and hopefully ideas that we can share Seder night, that will be inspirational for Seder night, and ideas that we can take with us from the Seder into the year. The first idea that Rabbi Soloveitchik speaks about, he speaks about many ideas, but four that I want to share with you, is the idea of Chesed. The idea of Chesed, which is a foundational idea when it comes to Seder night. One of the Simanei HaSeder, one of the 15 items that we will take part in on the night of Pesach, is what's called the Yachatz. Yachatz, we break the matzah in half. And the question is, why is it that we break the matzah in half? There are different opinions that are brought. The Gemara speaks about the idea of it's lechem oni, that the person puts aside a piece for later, not knowing where the next meal is coming from. But Rabbi Soloveitchik offered a very beautiful interpretation and said that we break the matzah in half because that's what the avadim, that's what the Israelite slaves did in Egypt. And why did they do that? He said the truth is not every slave was in the same circumstance. There were those that were in more difficult circumstances, and there were those that were better off. A person that had a nicer master was in a better situation. So that person received some bread. That person received some food. And what did that person do? That person, that Jew, would break a piece off and would give it to somebody who had less. And says Rabbi Soloveitchik, that's why we begin the Seder that way. The idea of sharing with others and of giving to others, that's a lesson that we want to impart to our children. And the truth is, when the Torah speaks about the holiday of Pesach again and again and again, the Torah says the following, and this is one of the most repeated psukim in the entire Torah, and that is to remember that you were a ger, that you were an outsider, that you were a stranger in a strange land. And when there are those around you that may be suffering, those that are in need, the widow, the orphan, anyone who is in need, that you are to respond to that suffering. So the lesson that the Torah speaks about when it refers to Pesach and what it means, Zechira, to remember what happened in Mitzrayim, the lesson that is conveyed again and again by the Torah is the idea of Rachmanos, the idea of having mercy. So says Rabbi Soloveitchik, that is the meaning of Yachatz. There's a beautiful interpretation that's given by the Chidushei Harim, those that have the source sheet in front of you. So it's a pasuk in the context of Makas Choshech, and where it describes the Makkah, it says, V'lo ra'u, this is source number two, V'lo ra'u ish es achiv, that a person didn't see their fellow, didn't see their neighbor, V'lo kamu ish mitachtav. And says the Chidushei Harim so beautifully, he says, that is the Makkah of Choshech, that is what darkness is all about. When we don't see one another, when we don't get up for one another, v'lo kamu ish mitachtav, when we don't respond to the needs of others. This is one of the very beautiful teachings of the night of Pesach, There's a story that's told of Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, the former chief rabbi of Israel, that he was on an army base and he was leading a Seder for soldiers. And as they made their way through the Haggadah, where it says, Hashata hacha l'shana haba b'Yushalayim, this year we are here, next year in Jerusalem, next year in Israel. So one of the soldiers raised their hand and said to the rabbi, why are we saying this? Right, we're here. This doesn't make sense. So it's a good question, right, for all of us that are going to be reciting that line. What does it mean, this year we are here, next year in Jerusalem, next year in Israel? So Rabbi Lau gave the following answer. He said to the soldier, yes, it's true that you are here in Israel, but there are many Jews that are not here in Israel. This isn't just a statement, this is a prayer, this is a tefillah, that everyone, that every Jew should be zochet to be in Yushalayim, that every Jew, we're praying, comes back to Israel. So this is lesson number one in terms of the Seder and the idea of kindness. And just to kind of close out this first lesson, and it's the first source on your sheet, as the halacha begins to speak about the holiday of Pesach, the very first statement that's made, well, the first statement that's made by the Shulchan Aruch, by Rav Yosef Kairo, is that one needs to learn about Pesach in advance, as we're doing right now. We're fulfilling really an obligation, or a rabbinic obligation, that one studies for Pesach in the 30 days prior to Pesach. But then the Rama adds the following, and that is, and I'll just read the words of the Rama, which you have in front of you, U'minhag liknos chitim l'chalkan le'anin l'tzorach Pesach. That there is the minag, that there is the custom of ma'os chitim. And that's part of what it means to prepare for Pesach as well, to think about and to ensure that everybody has a place for Pesach. Elie Wiesel tells the story of a Hasidic Rebbe who prepares for his Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, and that'll be next Shabbos HaGadol. He puts a lot of work into preparation, and he's going to talk about the idea of ma'os chitim, of giving tzedakah. And that Shabbos morning, he gives the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha about giving tzedakah, about caring for others. He comes home from the Drasha, and his wife sees that he's exhausted and how much he put, the effort that he put in. And she says, do you think that you were successful? So he says, yeah, I think I was half successful. The poor people in Shul all agree that they should receive tzedakah, but the other half, right, those that had money, I'm not so sure if I got through to them. Okay, so that is lesson number one when we think about Pesach, and for all of us in terms of our preparations for Pesach, it's not only the all the items that we're going to be buying and the cleaning that we're going to do, but also the concern that we have for others and to ensure that everybody has a place and that everybody is provided for as we enter the Yontif. Okay, the second theme is a very, very important theme for Rabbi Soloveitchik, and it is a theme of personal change. And here I want to bring to your attention a pasuk that we recite, and it's probably a pasuk that we don't take note of necessarily as part of the Seder. So it's a pasuk from Yechezkel. A pasuk from Yechezkel, and this is source number 4 on your sheet. And here, this is the section of the Magid. And within the Magid, we analyze psukim of the Arami Oved Avi section of the Torah, and we come to the word Rav. And what does the word Rav mean? It says that the Jewish people, that they multiplied, that they became many. That's essentially how it's understood. But the Haggadah, the Baal Haggadah brings the following pasuk. And it says the following. This is number 4. V'rav kemash ne'amar. What does Rav mean? Well, it's related to the following pasuk in Yechezkel. Rivava ketzemach hasadeh nisaticha, vatirbi vatigdali v'tavoi ba'adi adayim, shadayim nachonu, se'arech tzimeach, va'at erom ve'erya. Pasuk in Yechezkel, tet zayin zayin. So what does that pasuk mean? Again, this is a pasuk that we say is part of the night of the Seder. I cause you to thrive like the plants of the field, and you increased and grew and became very beautiful. Your bosom fashioned and your hair grown long, but you were naked and bare. So that is, and I'm not sure if that rings a bell. It's maybe at a part of the Seder that we're getting a little bit tired and we've just recited a lot of psukim. But this is a pasuk that appears and a pasuk that we recite as part of the Haggadah. The question is, what does this mean and what is this referring to? And Rabbi Soloveitchik gives a very beautiful interpretation and says what this pasuk is referring to is really the state of the slaves. Now, what does it mean that they were naked and bare? What it means is that they very much became like their Egyptian neighbors, naked and bare, not in the literal sense, not in the physical sense, but spiritually. And that's the famous comment of the Zohar, that they reached the 49th level of Tumah, that they were essentially assimilated, that they had forgotten that they were Jewish. There was very little that was left in terms of their loyalty and their knowledge and their dedication to Jewish life. That's what it means that they were naked and bare. But says Rabbi Soloveitchik, and this is very much within the philosophy and thought of Rabbi Soloveitchik, he says the following, and he says, as miraculous and how wonderful were the plagues and everything that God did for the Jewish people in Egypt, what I find to be even more miraculous is that a people that were naked and bare, that were so distant from Jewish life, that they were able to transform their lives and to change and on a dime, so to speak, to go from where they were to now being loyal to Moshe Rabbeinu, being loyal to Hashem, and responding to the call to leave Egypt and to follow Moshe into the wilderness. And says Rabbi Soloveitchik, that is what the pasuk is referring to. When the pasuk says Rav, that they were great, it doesn't mean Rav, that they were great in terms of numbers, but what it means, Rav, means that they were extraordinary in terms of what they had accomplished. And this is one of the great lessons of Pesach, in terms of personal transformation, of being able to restart, right? To be able to take on new challenges and to make changes in one's life. Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook points out, the first chief rabbi of Israel, in his beautiful commentary on the Haggadah, he says that three times in the Torah, again and again and again, the Torah tells us that Pesach must be observed in the springtime, B'chodesh Ha'aviv, on a day like today. This is how Pesach must be celebrated. If you're in Australia celebrating Pesach, I'm not sure if this is the weather. It's actually getting cold and moving into winter. So it doesn't seem like that's the right place in terms of location for the Seder. The Torah says, again, not once, not twice, three times. We don't have it anywhere else in any other Chag where it tells us what season it should be in, what time of year it should be in. We have dates, but this is the only time that we have Chodesh HaAviv. And says Rav Cook, why is that so important? Because this is one of the most important themes of Pesach. When we think about the new season and the sprouting and the blossoming and the flourishing, that this is what Pesach means on a personal level for all of us and what it means in terms of the nation as well. That after the long winter, after the long exile, after the long galut, that we're going to begin to blossom as a Jewish people and flourish as a Jewish people. And by the way, it's something that we're seeing today, Baruch Hashem. Rav Cook writes this 100 years ago. And here we have the other week at Levi, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, to have 500,000, maybe more, that were there in terms of Kavarat Torah, the numbers of people that are learning Torah. They say there are more people learning Torah in Israel than ever before in the history of the Jewish people, including the times of the Beis HaMikdash. There are more people that are studying Torah. That you could have 70, 80 people in a room right now studying Torah, and throughout Israel, that this is something that's unique. And says Rav Cook, this is what's going to happen when the Jews return to the land of Israel. We're going to have a flourishing. We're going to have a blossoming. And therefore, Pesach must be celebrated this time of year because that's the message, the transformative message of Pesach. Okay, so that is that's lesson number two from Rabbi Soloveitchik. And now I'd like to turn to a third idea from the Rav, from Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal. And this is something that is at the very heart and soul of the night of Pesach and the Seder, and the heart and soul of Jewish life. There is an idea that Rabbi Soloveitchik comes back to again and again, and that is the idea of Mesorah, the idea of handing down a tradition from one generation to the next. And this was very important to him, of course, putting it into a historical framework. Think about the Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, living in Boston, the Rosh Yeshiva in New York, in the 50s, in the 60s, and the 70s, in terms of how is it that we're going to convey a message to our children? How is it that we're going to ensure that the next generation is going to love Torah, is going to be dedicated to the mitzvot? And that's a great challenge and continues to be a great challenge. And in many, many ways, the Rav was successful in doing that. This is a theme that we find in his writings, throughout his writings. And he speaks about one night a year that is really considered to be the paradigm, right, in terms of the idea of handing down a tradition, of passing down tradition to the next generation. The Torah does not talk about the night of Pesach as a night to share the story. It's a night v'gadata levincha. It's a night that we are to tell the story to children and to grandchildren and to the next generation. And the question is, how do we do this in an effective way? How do we do this in a way that they're going to be inspired on the night of Pesach? And here I want to share the following story, one of my favorite stories, a Hasidic story. This is from the Dinev Rebbe, the Rebbe of Dinev, Rav Tzvi Elimelech of Dinev, the author of Bnei Yisaskar, one of the most important Hasidic works. And on the night of Pesach, at the Seder, so the Dinev Rebbe went late into the night, as many of us do as well, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And the custom was in his town that people, as they would finish their Seder, that they would make their way over to the Dinev Rebbe and to be there for the last hour or two with the Rebbe at his Seder. And people came to his home. The community of Dinev came to the house of the Rebbe. They were there till 3-4 o'clock in the morning as he came to the close of the Seder. And his chassidim, his students, came over to him and said, how beautiful your Seder was. And we felt like we were in Shamayim. We were in heaven, that last hour or so of the Seder. And the Rebbe says, I thank you for the compliment. And yes, it was a very beautiful Seder. But there was another Seder in town this evening, which was holier than my Seder, which was on a higher level. He said it was Maishla, the water carrier. His Seder, Maishla, had the highest Seder. So the Hasidim turned to one another, and they just couldn't imagine that that was accurate. Maishla could barely read an Aleph or a Beis, and how could it be that he had the holiest Seder? So the Rebbe said, I want you to go tomorrow morning to his home, and you'll bring him to the Beis Medrash, and I want him to tell you publicly what he did at his Seder for all of you to learn from his Seder. And that's what happened the following day, the first day of Yantif, of Pesach. They went to his home, and they knocked on the door, and they said, Moshe, the Rebbe, the Dinev Rebbe, would like to see you. And Moshe said, I'd really rather not go. I'd rather not go to the Beis Medrash. And he said, no, the Rebbe has asked that you come. So finally he says, yes, they dragged him to the Beis Medrash. He comes in front of the Beis Medrash. All the Hasidim are there. He's standing next to the Rebbe, the Dinev Rebbe. And the Rebbe says, I'd like you to share with everyone what happened at your Seder last night. So Maishla said, I'm so embarrassed about what I did last night, and I swear to you, I promise I'll never do it again, what I did last night at my Seder. So the Rebbe said, no, I want you to tell everybody what you did at your Seder last night. And this is what Maishla said. Maishla said, I want you to know that I'm a water carrier, and it's a difficult life that I live. Every single day, I'm schlepping pails of water, going down to the lake, bringing it to town, bringing it door to door. I'm an older man already, and it's not easy to do that. And at the end of every day, so I take a little bit of scotch, a little bit of whiskey, I have a glass, calms me down, I'm able to sleep, and I wake up the next morning and I do the work that I need to do. And it was Erev Pesach, the day before, and I realized that I'm not going to be able to have my whiskey or my scotch, not kosher Pesach, for the next 8 days. And what am I going to do 8 days without having a glass every single day? So what I decided to do is that before Pesach, I would drink enough that it would last for all 8 days. And that's what he did. He stayed up the night before through the morning before Pesach, and he drank and he drank and he drank. And now was the night of the Seder, and Maishla was lying in bed, and his wife came over to him. Maishla, it's time to start the Seder. And he said, if you could just give me another hour or so, and I'll, you know, be happy to join the children, everyone, for the Seder. And she came back an hour later and said, you know, it's time now to start the Seder. It's already an hour late. And Moshe says, I don't think I can stand up. I can't see straight. And if you could come back another hour. And she comes back an hour later, and an hour later, and an hour later. And now it's about 4 o'clock in the morning, and she comes in to Maishla and says, Maishla, in another hour or so, the sun is going to come up, and we're going to miss the Seder night. And Maishla says, I don't think I can get out of bed just yet. But if you could wake the children, and if you could bring the children around the bed, let me speak to the children. So that's what Maishla does. And his wife brings the children around the bed of Maishla. And he lifts his head off the pillow. And he says to his children, I want to apologize to you. And first, let me tell you, if this is what can happen, if I drink too much, I'm not going to drink any longer. But there's something else that I want to tell you. And that is that I know tonight that we were not able to have the matzah, and we didn't have the maror, we didn't have the charoses. We didn't do many of the mitzvah, but there's one mitzvah that I can still do. And that is I could tell you the story. I could tell you the story of what happened to our forefathers. And he turns to his children and says to his children, the story is that our people went down to Egypt. And there in Egypt, they were enslaved, and they lived such a difficult life, a life with so much suffering and so much pain. And God then took them out of Egypt and brought them to Mount Sinai. And from Mount Sinai, he brought the Jewish people to the land of Israel. And I want you to know something, that the Jewish people, when they were in pain, when they were suffering, they began to call out to God and to pray to God, to daven to Hashem. And they davened and they davened, and Hashem heard their prayers and responded to their prayers. And my dear children, I want you to know that if you're ever suffering, if you're ever having a difficult time, that you can turn to Hashem, that you can turn to God, and God hears your prayers, and God is going to answer your prayers. At that point, Maishla then put his head back down on the pillow and fell back to sleep. Now, Maishla is standing next to the Dinever Rebbe, the Rebbe of Dinev in the Beis Medrash, and the Rebbe of Dinev is beginning to cry. And the Rebbe turns to his chassidim, turns to everybody in the room, and says, have you ever heard somebody tell the story of Pesach the way that Maishla told the story to his children? In a simple way, in a way that was so heartfelt, in a way that one could feel the presence of Hashem. And the Rebbe said, I hope that once in my life I'll be zocha, that I'll merit to tell the story the way that Maishla told the story on the night of Pesach. And there are many lessons in this Hasidic story of the Din of a Rebbe. But one of the lessons is, and I think important for all of us going into the Seder, and that is with all of the technical parts of the Seder and all the things that we must do at the Seder, and certainly we will do them in a way that is kedas ukedin, to fulfill every mitzvah. We also want to ensure that the night of the Pesach is a night that we feel Hashem's presence. Is a night that we feel connected, that we feel connected to one another, and that we share with our children, with our grandchildren, with those that are at our Seder, how special it is to be a Jew, how special it is to be part of the Jewish people, and to feel Hashem's presence, to feel the Shekhinah. So that is our third idea in terms of Mesorah, in terms of passing on the story to the next generation. And the final idea that I want to share with you, and this begins with Rabbi Soloveitchik, with the teaching of Rabbi Soloveitchik, is the idea of Talmud Torah in terms of Torah learning and how that is so central to Seder night and a message that we are to take from the Seder. Now, the rabbis had to choose, the sages and the authors of the Haggadah had to choose a section in order to tell the story. We were just talking about telling the story. And where would you think they would go in the Torah? Which passage in the Torah would they choose to tell the story? If there's a mitzvah on the night, which there is, of Magid to tell the story, what's the best way of telling the story? So the obvious answer is to go to the book of Shemot, to go to the passages, the psukim in Shemot that talk about leaving Egypt, to tell the story of Moshe coming to Paro, the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, the Makot, and the Haggadah does not do that. Strangely, the Haggadah does not do that. If you go to the section of Magid, that's the main section, That's where we spend hours on the night of Pesach. You will not find those psukim in the Haggadah. The author of the Haggadah chooses something else, and he chooses a section known as Aramiyo Veravi. There are four psukim, and those four psukim make up the Maggid. That we're going to take those four psukim, and we're going to analyze those psukim. And I have that on the top of page number two. I don't know, yeah, you should see number two. These are the psukim. It's Hey, Vav, Zayin, Chet. That's the Maggid. But we take each section of it, and we analyze it. Arami Oved Aviv, Vayered Mitzrayma, Vyagar Sham Ibtei Me'at, Vayhi Sham Legoy Gadol, Latsum Vera, Vayereu Tanra Mitzrim, Vayanunu, Vayinu Alenu Avoda Kasha, Vanitzak El Hashem, as we were just speaking about in the story, Elokei Avotenu, Vayishma Hashem, Et Kolenu, Vayaret Anyenu, Vayatam Alenu, Velachatzenu, Vyotzienu Hashem, Mitzrayim Biyad Chazaka, Vizro Netuya, Uvimora Gadol, Uveotot, Uvimoftim. That is the Maggid. And we don't read it all in one shot. We read piece by piece, and we go through it, and that's the main section. But the question is, simple question, Rabbi Soloveitchik asks, why this section? Why not Parshat Shmot? Why not Sefer Shmot? And take the section that actually speaks about it directly. And there are many answers to this question. Rabbi Soloveitchik gives the following answer. He says, because this section requires more Limud HaTorah. In other words, it's condensed, and you need to take each word, you need to analyze each word. If we were just reading the psukim, it's kind of there for you. It's almost too obvious. But when it comes to learning of Torah, we're not satisfied with that kind of learning. We want a learning that's going to be analytical, a learning that's going to be back and forth, a shakla vitaria, a learning that's going to be in-depth. And this requires a more in-depth, what's called like an iyun kind of learning. And says Rabbi Soloveitchik, this is what the night is all about. It's interesting, if you think about it, what takes so many hours at the Seder? If you think about, what does? Well, if you think about how long does it take to eat the matzah? Not that long. How much the maror? Not that long. How much the kiddush and the four kosot? Not that long. So what are we doing for 4, 5, 6 hours? We're talking, yeah, we are talking. So it says Rabbi Soloveitchik, what is the Seder all about? The Seder is about Limud HaTorah. It's about the study of Torah. What does it mean to be a Jew? What does it mean to celebrate the beginning of our peoplehood? It means to study Torah together. That is the essence of Jewish life. And I think it's one of the secrets, or one of the keys to why Orthodox Judaism has been so successful. I've been reading this past week articles about the other movements in America, that the conservative and reform in terms of their rabbinical schools, that the numbers are lower and lower, that as we know, they're struggling movements. What's the difference between those movements and the Orthodox movement? I would say that one of the differences is the stress, the emphasis on Limud HaTorah, that the study of Torah is so central to Jewish life. And here I want to turn to another statement that's made, which I think everybody, that the pasuk that I quoted before from Yechezkel, I would say is not as well known, but this is a very well-known statement that's made, and the question is, what does it refer to? So this is the second source on page 2. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Torah L'mal Yisrael Baruch Hu. We say this, some sing it, anybody know the melody? Baruch HaMakom. Yeah, I sing that, good. So, what is this all about? What is this line? I mean, it's a nice line and a nice melody, but what is the reference? Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, gives a beautiful answer. This is Birchos HaTorah. We are about to begin the study of Torah. We can't actually make the bracha. We make it in the morning. We make it every single day. That's part of the way that a Jew starts their day. But the Haggadah wanted to incorporate a bracha for the study of Torah and the unique study of Torah that we're about to be engaged in on the night of Pesach. And therefore, these same words, Baruch Shenatan Torah L'mal Yisrael, what does that sound like? What does that echo? It echoes, Asher Natan Lanu Torah, the bracha that we make at Birchas HaTorah. So that is an introduction. We're actually introducing the idea that we're about to enter the study of Torah, and we're making a bracha before we do that. And then, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, so beautifully, he says, and what is the next line that we say? What's the next statement that we make? Is Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah, Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Ve'echad Tam, Ve'echad Eino Yodei Lishol. And says Rabbi Soloveitchik, a very simple idea, but such an important idea for in Jewish life, and that is that Torah is for everyone. The Torah is for the Rasha. The Torah is for the She'enu Yodei Lish'ol, the one that doesn't have the intellect, the one that doesn't know how to ask, the Tam, the one who's simple, and for the Chacham. It's for everyone. And that Judaism and Torah learning must be made available and should be accessed and is inviting to every Jew and every kind of Jew. That's how we begin our study of Torah. Look how beautiful this is. We make a bracha as we're about to begin. We then make a statement that this learning is for everyone, and only then we then enter into the actual study of Torah. And here I'll bring one other story from the Rebbe of Dinov, the Rebbe that we just spoke about, Ratzvi Elimelech of Dinov. Before he started his Seder, he would go throughout the town of Dinov and to make sure that everybody was set. You know, very often there are questions, last-minute questions in terms of the Seder. So before he would sit down, he would first walk around the town. And as he was finishing up his rounds, making sure that everybody was ready, he stopped by one home. He put his ear to the window, and he heard in the window that the person leading the Seder said, Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad She'eno Yodea Lishon. He went home to his Seder, and he said to his wife and to his family, I just heard the most beautiful prayer, the most beautiful tefillah at somebody's Seder. And he said, every morning in shul, when he says the Shema, he says the Shema that same way, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And he was davening that night that everyone, that all four children should know the Echad. Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, that the Rasha should know the Echad, that the Tam should know the Echad, that the She'enu Yodei Lish'ol should know the Echad. There's a beautiful teaching of the Rebbe of Rimanov. This is brought in the Sefer Eim Habanim Smecha, Rav Teitel, which is a very well-known Sefer, a rabbi, a Hungarian Hasidic rabbi, who begins to see the importance of the Zionist movement. In the Sefer, he has the following quote, I just have it here, and he says that the Rebbe of Rimanov and the tradition of the Hasidim of Rimanov is that they would never use the word Russia that night. And I'll just read to you the line which you have on page 4. It says, Merov avaso the Yisrael, because of their love for every Jew, lo ratza lahaskir b'shem Russia. They would never use the word Russia. Ve'alkein amar rak ben asheni. In their Haggadah, maybe it said Russia, but they would not recite, they would not say Russia. They refused to say that word. It was just ben asheni, chacham, and then ben asheni, the second son. And one last idea, and this is the Rebbe of Belz, the Belzer Rebbe. And he was known for his great love for every Jew. And he struggled with the line, which, by the way, is one of the most difficult, if not the most difficult line in the Haggadah, which to me is one of the most challenging lines in the Haggadah, and that is our response to the Russia. We say, Hakeh et Shinav. That you smack him. Everyone's talking about the smack that happened a couple of days ago. It says in the Haggadah that you haked, that you hit, that you smack, that you blunt the teeth. There are different interpretations, but it's a difficult line. The Rosh is asking a question, and it seems from the Haggadah's point of view that you do have to respond in a strong way. He's asking in a chutzpahdik way, and you need to put your foot down. Hakeh et shinav. But the Belzer Rebbe said, I can't imagine that that's what the Haggadah is saying. So the Belzer Rebbe explains that Hakeh Shinav means that you are to knock out literally his shin, not his shin on the knee, but his shin, the letter shin. And here, look at number 5. And in Kabbalah, whenever you speak about the letter shin, the three prongs, it refers to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That you are to knock out, that you are to show that within him, that he has Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that he has the holiness, or that he has the sanctity of coming from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And he adds one other idea, which is very beautiful, and that is whenever we see the word Russia, and here I have that on the right side, number 5, how are you to perceive the word Russia? The word Russia is Ra, that's the Resh and the Ayin, But that's only on the outside. That's just a facade. That's how it appears to your eye. But on the inside is the shin. So whenever we and this is one of the, not only the Belzer, but one of the great Hasidic ideas, and that is the way that we see other Jews. And to see the Pintel Yid, to be able to see the neshama, to see the soul, to see the Tzelem Elokim within every person. And even the Russia, and even when we see the word Russia, that's only the Ra, is only on the outside. The Resh and the Ayin, that's only on the exterior. But what's on the interior, what's on the inside, what's at the heart and the soul, is the Shin, is Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, is the holiness and sanctity of every Jew. And just to close, one other, I have more time? Okay. just to close, the Rebbe of Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. So he was also known for his love of Jews and the idea of joy and happiness. So he said the following. He said that we really are making a big mistake the way that we greet one another before Pesach and the way that we greet one another before Purim. We say a Freilich in Purim, and we say, he said in those days, you said a Kasher in Pesach. He says, yeah. So he says it should be just the opposite. He says it should be a Kasher in Purim, because everyone, you got to be very, very careful in terms of your drinking and your behavior and your conduct. It should be kosher, right? Make sure that it doesn't get out of hand. But he says we have to remind everyone that it has to be a Freilich in Pesach, that it has to be with a lot of joy, with a lot of happiness. You know, the other day I was walking by the Makoled, right, a few blocks from my house, and over the last few weeks, as you walked in, they had a big table in front of the Makoled, and it was filled with Mishloach Manot, you know, all the beautiful Mishloach Manot and all the candy, that was what was being highlighted. And I went the other day, on that same table, now walking in, it's filled with cleaning items. It's all mops and sprays. And I said, we're just coming from so much joy in the Mishloach Manot and to walk in the Makola and to see all of that. So that's not how we're supposed to think about, it's not how we're supposed to think about Pesach. With all the cleaning that we're doing and the shopping that we're doing and the cooking that we're doing, it has to be done in a Freilichen way. It has to be done with a lot of joy and a lot of happiness. And says the Rebbe, only with happiness is there growth. Only with happiness do you have the springtime and the flourishing and the blossoming of Pesach. So we should all be zoche to a Freilichen Pesach, a Zisen Pesach, and a great pleasure to have time together learning with you this morning. All the best.